So Pam said they pretty much sanded away the rest of the other speaker stand we have, and it's actually going to be smaller than this. What she doesn't know is we've got a television on the back where I don't even need this. So I can just click it and watch it back there. So I can have it as big as I want, as long as I want. I don't know why she's worried about me. I think I preach pretty short compared to most of these men who preach here. It is good. It's good to enjoy our times with one another. We are blessed of God. And we certainly, all of us today that are here, had a plan. We decided today that we were going to be here. And we had a plan for that, and we didn't plan for it. I don't believe anybody woke up this morning and said, you know what, let's plan to go to the assembly this morning. It's just not the way things work. No, if we plan to serve God, that's not what we do, no more than He just planned haphazardly the plan that He had. Paul knew this. You remember the passage we read in the first assembly, 2 Corinthians 1:15 through 20?
Are you going to take that
with you? Well, I have to. And in this confidence I intended to come to you before, that you might have a second benefit. To pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you, and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Paul said, I've got these plans. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Do you lightly plan your life? Do you care what happens in your spiritual life? Do you just let it go by day by day and hope things work out really well for you? Is that what you do? Is that what I do? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh? Am I more interested in what happens to my flesh than I am what happens to me eternally? That with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no. When it comes to physical things, it's a yes, yes, and a no, no, because we just change as life goes. But can we do that with our spiritual life? As God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him was yes. Always positive. Always accomplishes what He said. Isaiah 55, His word will never return to Him void. It will accomplish that which He pleases. It'll always be that way. For all the promises of God in Him are yes. And in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. So what do I plan to do? Well, in the first lesson we talked about the planning of God and bringing Christ into this world and how important it was and how that was an essential part of doing what God wanted. That was, He was, the focus of it all we talked about. Around Him the new law came. Around Him everything came. Around Him everything was planned. Perfect sacrifice. Perfect law. And that law will be brought to everyone. God didn't leave this to chance. He made sure it happened. So if God planned for this salvation, shouldn't we always make plans for every new year that God gives us? We just went through one. When's a good time to plan for this year? Last year? Yes, we should have started. A little late now for some things, isn't it? Because the new year is already here. We're into the third day of it. Already happened. We couldn't control that. That's God's plan to set up all these earthly things, and they work the way they work. So what do we do about it? Do we have plans for our spiritual well-being this coming year? Do we have plans to obey the commands of God's plan? Oh, I'm not talking about just those essential ones, those first ones we obeyed. I'm talking about everything. Do we have a plan for that? There's a lot of commands in here. One of them we kept today when we assembled together, didn't we? We made a plan for this. As a church, we decided we're going to meet this time on the first day of the week. But as individuals, what do we plan? Do we plan to be here or do we plan to be somewhere else? Every time? Or just sometime? And maybe we'll do it once or twice. What's our plan for obedience? Are we like Christ? In the flesh, He obeyed everything. He left nothing out. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things He suffered. Then being perfected. Then being perfected. You see, when there's a plan, He still had to do what had been planned. As a human, He could not be perfected until He completed that plan. I can't be perfected until I complete my plan. How do I know that? Well, the last part of the verse there, when we go to the next thing, we need to obey just like He did. He became the author of eternal salvation to who? To those who accept Him as their personal Savior. That's not what this says. To them that obey Him. He showed you what to do. As God in the flesh, He obeyed the Father. He said, I came to do the will of the Father. He submitted to Him while on earth. The Word submitted. Do we understand our salvation is based on Christ's death, burial, and resurrection? It's all about that. Everything we center our lives around, everything we do is based around that. The good news I declare to you, He said, which you received and which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you've remembered that. That's not what He says. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The new Scriptures? No, what did we talk about? Those old Scriptures. The one that Glendon read in our presence from Isaiah 53 as if it had already happened. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. But it was more than that. That He was buried. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's why Christ knew. That's why Christ followed it to the letter. He knew. Do we obey from the heart that form of doctrine? Death, burial, and resurrection? We were discussing in class, some people make fun of us because we believe in immersion in water for the remission of sins. You know why? We obeyed a form of the doctrine. What's the form of the doctrine? What do you do with something that is dead? What did they do with Christ when He died? They buried Him. What do you do with a spiritual body that's in sin? According to the Bible, you bury it. As Glendon said, we don't take that water and get rid of it because that's somebody's sins. It has nothing to do with it whatsoever. It's a form of the doctrine. And then we arise a new creature, just like Christ came forth from the dead. We follow a form of the doctrine that was taught in 1 Corinthians 15. And that's exactly what it says in the first part of Romans 6. That form was exactly like that. The old man was dead, buried, and arose a new creation. We are born into the family of God, a new birth. Do we plan to continue to obey? Well, there's a concern about this. We see it all through the New Testament. He was concerned about the Galatians, and he said that he was afraid they were going to fall away again because they just didn't seem to get it. As he wrote to all these churches, he was very concerned about their continued obedience. Was it enough that I obeyed a form of that doctrine? No, I've got to continue in it. In Colossians 1, 21 through 23, when he talks about this going out into all the world. He said, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He's reconciled. How? In the body of His flesh through death. To present you, a Martin, holy and blameless and irreproachable in His sight. Not because you submitted to baptism, but because you obeyed His will because of His death on the cross. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, that good news about the death, burial, and resurrection, if you don't get removed from that and you continue your faith in that, you'll continue to obey, which was preached to every creature under heaven. Do we understand the seriousness of this? As he wrote the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 13, he was very concerned about them. He understood that it was very easy to fall away. He understood that an Abe Martin might not stick with it if he didn't stick with it. If he didn't plan for it. If he didn't think about it every day. If he didn't continue in it. So he says, do this, knowing the time, that it is now high time to wake out of sleep. He's talking to Christians. Wake up. We got a new year. Let's wake up. It's not about a new building. We planned for that. That process is done. It's about the building up of the Lord's body. That's what we're here for. That's what it's all about. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And isn't that true of every one of us? Our salvation is near. It's a lot nearer for me than when I first believed. For some of you, not as far removed. For Dustin and Philip, it hasn't been that long ago. But their salvation is nearer than when they first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. What happens to us? Well, we don't keep the armor of light on. We don't stay in the Word in Ephesians 6, talking about putting on that armor. We don't hold it. We don't do it. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in licentiousness and lewdness, not in strife and envy. But, instead of doing those things, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Can't I make a little bit? How about just a little bit? Lust, flesh, lust, doubt, and pride of life. Why can't I have time for that? Because it'll get me. And I'll lose my salvation. And I won't be nearer my salvation than I was when I first believed. You'll take it away from me. Since God planned for our salvation, shouldn't we plan for our salvation? Shouldn't we make some plans for it? Shouldn't we be thinking about how to live our lives? Shouldn't we first become a Christian? Today is the day of salvation. What happens to us that we don't understand this? Don't make the death of Jesus Christ of none effect. It's not me. It's not me saying this. I have no idea, separate and apart from God's Word. I truly am dumber than a sack of rocks when it comes to that. I couldn't figure this out. I'm just giving you the Scripture. I'm not taking them out of context, I hope. I'm hoping I'm just showing you what the Bible says. Do you know why I teach it? For me. I'm concerned. I'm scared if I don't. Do we have a plan to work harder to understand the new law? How important is it? How important is it to spend time this coming year to learn more about this? Do we have it all together? Does anyone in this room feel like that you've got it 100%? If you don't, why aren't you spending more time in it? If you think this is the plan of salvation and this is the book that's written about it, why aren't you? Why am I not spending time in it? How hard is it to understand what Paul said in Ephesians 3:3-4? I wrote it down so that you might have my understanding of this mystery. Is he saying we can understand it? Oh, people say it can't be understood. Really? Maybe it can't be understood because we don't spend any time in it. Maybe we're only spending our time learning how to play new games and to do other things, and we've forgotten about spending our time in God's Word. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, because if you didn't, I'd have to just tell you to the truth. You're not telling the truth. If I ask you, have you spent enough time this year in a study of God's Word? Anybody want to raise your hand? I keep saying, if this is the most important book, and God, Christ died for it, the Son of God, and we say, oh, I love the Word of God. And I tell you, I'm going to be there on Sunday and hear it, and then I'm going home. That's enough. Pam doesn't give me enough time to teach you all of God's Word. She's cutting me short. She's saying, don't preach as long. And I'm kidding her. But let me tell you what happens. Not about me. I couldn't teach you all of God's Word because I don't know all of it. If I had to. I'm here to encourage you and try to prompt you to do it. Do we plan to use our time more wisely? No, I'll tell you what. Let's go out and let's get drunk. That would be, let's drink some alcohol. Let's do some drugs. That seems to be the common thing nowadays. And he says, I'll tell you what, in Ephesians 5, you better wake up. You better wake up. That's going back up in those things and doing those things up above what I'm about to read. He said, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk carefully. I preached a lesson not too long ago on that. Be careful. Be sober-minded. Don't do anything that's going to affect your mind at all. Don't do mind-altering substances. I don't care how little or how much. They will mess you up. And let me tell you how they'll mess you up. redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Which one do you want me to approach you with? After having a few drinks? Or after having studied God's Word? Which one would you want me to approach you with? That's what he's saying here. Soberly. Do we plan to work harder to rightly divide the Word of God? Be diligent. Be diligent. To show yourself approved unto God. Not to Abe. Unto God. You won't answer to me, but you will answer to God, and I will too. A worker who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. It's not up to me to divide it for you. It's up to you to divide it for you. That's an individual responsibility. Do we plan to use more family time studying the Bible this year? Are you going to set aside a time during the week? Are you going to set aside a time during the day? Are you going to set aside a time to talk about God's Word, or are you just going to let it go? And there again, we'll do it Sunday. Is that it? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so, as a father, now a grandfather, am I going to say to God, I knew what you said, but I had other things to do. You know, I have to provide for the family. And it's much more important that I provide the physical things than it is the spiritual. You know, you did tell me to do that. I do have things to do. I need to work on the car. I tell you what, when you're working on the car, or you're doing something, train your children. Bring them out there with you. Tell them why you're doing what you're doing. Talk to them about God's Word while you're doing it. Don't waste your time. Be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. What are we going to say to God? I knew how important it was. I tried that on teachers. I don't know about the rest of you, but you know, it was that approach about, well, you know, I was going to study that, but then I had this other class, and I knew it was important to study that, so I had to study for that test. I didn't get a chance to study for this math test, and I'm sorry. You're still going to pass me, right? You know what they said? I don't think so. Well, I was going to get that homework. I was going to do that. But I knew, you know what? I knew the only thing was important for me to attend the classroom period. Because teacher, I knew he was going to teach it to me, and that's all I needed. Nick's grinning because he knows that's not... No, it didn't work for Nick. It won't work for any of us. I don't care. You can attend all the classes you want to. You don't do the homework, and Lauren will fail you. She's just that kind of person. You know why? She knows the importance of them learning. I don't want to fail. I don't want to reach God, and I don't want to say, you know what, I didn't have time to talk, in our case, with Linda about the Bible. We were going to. You know, we thought about it a lot. I'm not talking about just established times. Those are great. But you ever think about just driving down the road? I'm talking about it. You have time to talk about everything else, correct? How about with other Christians? Well, I tell you what, they understood this in the New Testament. They were so excited about this, they didn't even have the written will of God at this point, except the Old Testament. They're excited. And there they are, continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They realized the time and the value of being with other Christians. Because they knew that even if you're getting together for a social meal, say at our house, you're going to bring up the Bible. You're going to talk about some Bible. Praising God and having favor with all the people. How do I know that? And the Lord added to the church daily such as being saved. Somebody was talking about it. They weren't just talking about it among themselves. They were talking about it to others as well. Do we understand the seriousness of this? Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15, I'll tell you what will happen. There they are, teaching about Christ was not resurrected and that there's not a resurrection to come. He clearly says there's a resurrection to come. There's a resurrection in which I will be given another body. He clearly says that. He clearly talks about it at the same time in the twinkling of an eye. But they didn't believe it. And they were teaching other things. Be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. Awake to righteousness. Do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Why did he speak it to their shame? Because Paul had been there at Corinth and he taught them. And they should have known. No excuse. And I'll tell you what. I'll look at every one of you. They have a better excuse than we do. They didn't have it written down. They'd heard it. They were having people teach it. They had people that had an inspired knowledge of God through the spiritual gifts. But they didn't have it written down like we do today. Since God planned for the new law, shouldn't we plan to better understand it? If Christ was willing to die to establish this new law, if it was that important, I'll ask you a question. Did He die to establish the United States of America? Which one's the most important? The law of Christ or the Constitution of the United States? Personally, I'd like to know both of them, but I especially want to know this one because I'm going to tell you what, when I reach my time for judgment, and I stand before Christ, and I say, well, you know what? I totally understand the Constitution of the United States. Depart from me. If that's all I know. Do we have a plan to work harder to teach others the gospel? We're going to work harder this coming year? Do we know people that are lost? What's our excuse? Well, I have all kinds of them. I don't know about the rest of you, but just I could give you a list. Give you a list. What's our plan for teaching? Well, I'll tell you what, those early disciples suffered even to the death to get the gospel out to the whole world. And without those men having gone out and taught that gospel, you and I wouldn't know it today. But God knew they'd do it. Without those men writing it down and putting it into a form that we can have, we wouldn't have it today. You're saying, well, God would have used some of the means. I know that. But this was God's plan, and they did it. That's the point. They didn't wait for someone else to do it. They went everywhere preaching the gospel, and they taught whoever they came in contact with. Oh, that was their responsibility. Yes, it was. You think we don't have a responsibility today to teach God's Word? Do we understand the consequences in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11? The next person you look at that you can teach that's not a Christian, remember this. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. If that doesn't want you them to teach them, if that doesn't put it into you, how do you know the terror of the Lord? Look at the Old Testament. You will never find it expressed any better than throughout the pages of the Old Testament, where He killed people on the spot, where He destroyed nations, where He said, I'll raise them up and I'll tear them down, where He finally even destroyed the people that He had set apart to be His own special people. This is God. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust well known in your consciences. Do we understand the necessity? Paul said, necessity is laid upon me. Woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do we feel that way? That we need to teach? Oh, that's just the preachers. Yes. They went everywhere preaching the gospel in Acts 8 verse 4. And that was everyone. We all have responsibility to preach. Some of us have responsibility to preach publicly. We all have responsibility to preach God's Word. Do we believe it enough to teach it? And this is a proof. Hebrews 5, verse 12, for when, for the time, you ought to be teachers. So what was the problem? He said, well, you have need that someone teach you again. You didn't study it. You didn't understand it enough to go teach it to someone else. He said, you're like a baby with milk. You don't know enough to teach. I guarantee you, in this room, you know enough to teach. I know you do. You can teach someone the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't give up. You love them? Teach them. You understand the terror of the Lord? Teach them. Do we plan then to work on our courage and boldness? We're not the first ones that's ever needed this. Matter of fact, I would argue that the disciples needed it, early disciples needed it more than we do. Here they are, they're preaching, and all they're doing is teaching about Jesus Christ. And some of these Jewish leaders get them and beat them. Beat them up for it. Can you imagine? I mean, here I'm teaching today. Can you imagine them coming in and dragging me out to the police headquarters and beating me up and saying, "Hey, do not talk about that." It happens. Well, they said, "No, we got to keep doing this." And so they left. It says in verse 23, and then they raised their voice to God. Why would they raise their voice to God? Because He's the only one that can help us through things like this. And they quote the Old Testament. They first compliment Him for being the one who made it all, and then they quote the Old Testament. And then they talk about Jesus in verse 27, "For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done." They recognized this plan was carried out. We need to tell people about this. Now, "Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness that we may speak your word." Help us, God. We need it. We need boldness. We just got beat up. We just got whipped for what we did. Don't let us stop. Help us. Just use that as a stepping stone to get further. "By stretching out your hand to heal, and the signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It's what we've been talking about. If Christ would do what He did for us, why can't we tell others about what He did for us? Do we have a plan of approach? How are we going to approach people? I hear people saying all the time, "I just don't know how to talk to someone." Pray for boldness, and then think about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9. He realized when he was talking to a Jew, he needed to act like a Jew. When talking to a Gentile, act like a Gentile. What's he saying about this? He's saying, understand the person you're talking to. We know our people. We know who they are. Think about them. Those without law is those without law. The weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, that all means win some. Just open our mouths. Open them up. Start talking. Do we have a plan to invite others? You ever heard the term, "We extend the invitation of Jesus Christ"? Do you know why that term came about? Someone said, "That's not in the Bible." Well, we're extending something. Jesus gave the invitation a long time ago, didn't He? In Matthew 11, a man that used to assemble here, who's passed from this life. I have no idea how many times he used this passage of Scripture on a Wednesday night, do you? "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It was Austin Mobley. How many times he quoted this? "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You want to be yoked up with someone who can save you? Get yoked up with Jesus Christ. Since God planned for the gospel to be the power to save, shouldn't we tell others about it? If you had a way for everyone, I've said this before, to make $1 million this coming year, wouldn't you be excited to tell them about it? Wouldn't you share that with them? I'd be happy to tell you. I have no idea on that one. I couldn't tell you how to make $1 million if I had to. I can tell you how to be saved. Why? Because God told me. How? Through His Word. We've been entrusted with the Word of God, but that comes with great responsibility. The more you know, the more you have to tell. What do we plan to do this year? We're going to have some empty seats at the new building. We don't have that many of them here now anymore, but we're going to have some empty ones there. But it's not about empty seats, is it? It's about the Lord's church can grow and grow and grow, and it will never be destroyed. But for you that have not obeyed the gospel, start today. Don't sit there, please, today. Don't sit there and not obey this good news. The good news is death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How can I obey that? By doing a form of that. Believe, repent, confess Him, and be immersed in water for the remission of sins. If you have any needs, we certainly would be overjoyed to help you any way we can. Would you please stand?